think so. I think so. But, all right, so do you already know the answer you want to say? Usually you ask it for a reason, so you want to propose a theory.
Well, I can see it a couple of different ways. It's so neat how when the Jews were conquered or whatever and they move off, oh, let's marry a Canaanite. His son is okay. Go ahead and marry that lady. So,
who did that happen to first? Who did that happen to first? Did y'all hear what he said? They got conquered. They got moved out. And when they moved back in Egypt,
I mean,
after that.
Yeah.
They were still 12.
Well, yeah, there's always an intermarrying. So that kind of diffuses the bloodline anyhow.
Already.
But by the same token, the dispersion ends up intermarrying, if you will, spiritually with Gentiles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like the deals. But, I mean, that was physical, and now this is spiritual. But yet, it does seem to be that God used the Jews in the dispersion.
Well, wait a minute.
You know,
wait a minute. The Jews is not Israel.
They're Judah.
Judah? Of course, they're Judah and Benjamin that went in exile. So here's the way to think of it. Here's the way to think of it is that 10 tribes after Solomon, when Rehoboam said, "You think my daddy put it on your heart?" His little finger, okay? My little finger is like his waist. I'm about to put it on you. And what did the 10 tribes say? We have no more with David. We're out of here. 10 tribes.
Northern
tribes.
Northern kingdom.
And they went away in 750 or so B.C. by the Assyrians. And if you go read Hosea, where God tells Hosea, go marry that woman. And yet, these children you're going to have, I'm telling you, they are not my people. And I have no following for them. In fact, I'm going to kill them. So God got rid of the 10 tribes and he deaded them. He killed them, planted them, and so they were waiting on a resurrection. So there's what happened to 10 tribes. They're dead. They're gone in Hosea. When do they come back? They come back with the two, and then that leaves you two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, who carry on for another 250 years until 586 BC when finally Babylon takes them away, but he doesn't kill them. Why?
Remnant
unto Messiah. Judah. He's going to bring it. There was no Judah before they went to Babylon and they started being known as Judah. It's a slang for the tribe of Judean. Okay, that's what it is. That's your first Jews, and that's left. That ain't 12 tribes, is it? But you were promised 12 tribes to be brought back into restoration to God. All 12. Here, I got a couple of things to show you here. If you want to go read Ezekiel, chapter 37 is proof of this. You ever heard of Ezekiel 37 in what's called the Valley of Dry Bones? Okay? By the time this is going to be, this prophecy, Ezekiel's prophecy, when it is fulfilled, how many tribes get sinews, flesh, stood up again as a mighty army? And oh, but wait a minute, they get the breath put in them. Does that remind you of Genesis 2? It's a re-establishment of Israel. And who is it? Two tribes or 10 tribes? Neither one of them. It's 12 tribes. Here's what it says. And he said to me, I didn't write the whole thing. Go read it. Son of man, Ezekiel, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Not two, not 10, but 2 plus 10 equals 12. Go read Ezekiel 37, the second half. And he says, go take a stick and go take another stick and put both sticks to make one stick. Okay? You take the stick for Judah. Now you know who that is. You take the stick of Ephraim. You know who that is, all 10 tribes. And bring them near to one another to thee for one stick. They have become one in thy hand. 12 tribes. Israel was not brought back from exile until all 12 tribes got brought back. Or if you're a futurist, you think they still haven't been brought back. Okay? You got to believe something like that. And I don't contend. The Bible tells you when, and the Bible tells you that it's all 12 tribes. And I got both places right here. Guess which book? The book of things being fulfilled, which is the book of Revelation, chapter 7, where in the same kind of theme as Ezekiel, go read Ezekiel 9. Israel is so bad, Judah is so bad, that God said, watch what I'm going to do. Call these messengers and come. And they're coming in judgment. And one of them is a scribe. He has an inkwell and a pen in his hand and an inkwell. And what does God tell him to do? Anybody know the story? He says, go throughout the city and put a mark on the which part of their body? On their forehead. And nobody move until all that's done. And once that scribe has finished putting a mark on their head, now he says to those others that brought their hatchets or axes or their destruction tools is what it's called. Now he says, go get them, boys. And they kill them all who don't have the mark of the Lord. Now, does that sound like Revelation to you? It should. Because John is quoting that same stuff. And where he first quotes it is in Rev 7, where he says, God does it again. He says, stop everything until we may seal the servants of our God upon their foreheads. And I heard the number of those that got sealed. How many? 144,000 were sealed out of all the tribes of the sons of Israel. This is the remnant. This is the spiritual Israel, not Gentiles. We ain't in a picture yet. We ain't in a picture yet. God had promises to Israel to fulfill before you Gentiles get to. Israel was a means to the Gentiles. They had to get their promises fulfilled. This is what I'm telling you. I wrote this myself. This is not scriptural. These are true Israelites, Christians. Israelite Christians, Jewish Christians in the first century. That's where they were. And so you ought to recognize this as a mystical number, symbolic number, 12,000 from 12 tribes. And there's mystical indication of 12. There's mystical indication of 1,000. There's mystical indication of 144. 12 times 12. All that stuff is what's got to be in the back of your mind if you're going to understand what he's doing. Okay. Comments again.
Well, I was just going to say, Jesus was so narrow-sighted, or pointed, you know, he gets those 70. Listen now. Don't go to anybody but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm here to work through Israel. We know later it is Gentiles, but even that, you think, well, golly, that's kind of it. But then I think we're studying in Luke in the triumphal entry.
Yes.
And he gets there close on the Mount of Olives, and he looks over. They had already rejected him.
Yeah.
Then he went in, and some commentary says, well, he cleaned the temple out.
Yeah. He cleaned the temple out.
That's judgment twice. At the beginning, yeah. John at the beginning, and Luke. Okay. But that was the start of the judgment. He already knew that they had rejected
him. Now remember, you're quoting Luke, but in Matthew, how many did he send out, and he told them to go just to the 12 tribes of Israel? He sent out his 12. In Luke, when he sent out two by two, 35 times two, 70. Well, now look, Luke is telling you that he's going all the way back to Genesis 10. That's the table of the nations. That's everybody. That's how many. Go count those nations in Genesis 10, and you're going to see after Noah and Ham, Shem, Japheth, those three, and when it gives you their listing, right before Abraham comes, or right before the Tower of Babel, there's 70 of them. Some have 72. So Jesus, did he come for the 12 tribes or did he come for the 70 all the nations? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But one through the other. That's the point. Okay? So, 10:20. Okay, so here's the next Arminian verse. Oh, you see, man, I don't know how long you would study to ever get this. Yeah, I do, until you die. You're never going to. I mean, it just becomes, it's fuller and fuller and fuller, I'm sure. Okay, 1 Timothy 2. I exhort then, first of all, there be made supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings for all men. There's universal all. For kings and all who are in authority, that for them, or that a quiet and peaceful life we may lead in all piety and soberness or gravity. For this is right and acceptable before God our Savior, here's the verse, who doth will all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. There you have it. Explain that one away. Okay, so, I mean, the Arminian side says, don't you understand all? What don't you get about all? Like some people say, eternal. What don't you get about eternal? And so here's the difference. I'll just give it to you. A Calvinist will say that when all is used in the New Testament, usually in the Gospel of John or even in the epistles, is that it's talking about all types of men, not every man. Can't be every man because every man wasn't saved. And if God decides that every man don't be saved, every man would be saved. But all men means all types of men, of the Jew first, and then of the Gentile. And that's very clear. Now, how did the Jews accept that kind of news? Well, I don't think so.
They're unclean.
They're unclean. They are dogs. So, who's got the connection with Yahweh? Solely us, they said, even though it never was that way. Even when they came out of Egypt, they came out with mixed multitudes.
So, it's not a blood?
So, it's not a blood?
No.
Nor flesh, nor the will of man. Thank you, Mike. So anyway, there's your one.
So to put like a qualifier, it should be like all chosen men.
All types of men, all chosen men, yes. Who doth will all. Now the other thing is, what did we explain last week? Scholars tell you that there's two types of the will of God. One is the Greek word thelema, the other one is volamai. Thelema is the decreed will of God. If he says it, is going to happen. The other one is what's called the desirous. They call this desiderata. Desired will of God. Such as God says, do I delight in the death of the wicked? I don't delight that. I wish all men would repent and come. This is Ezekiel. Remember last week? Ezekiel 18, Ezekiel 32? He was saying that. I wish they would. That's a different word. And so people would do the same thing here if you argue those. Okay?
Well, it's just dangerous if you hang on one phrase that doesn't, well, it just doesn't seem to fit. Oh, well, then why doesn't it fit?
Yep.
What's the rest of other verses?
Yep.
You know,
Bible
interprets the Bible.
That's called the analogy of faith. That's Herman talking right there. Okay? Herman
Lewis. Not Mike.
Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Okay? All right, here's another one. 1 Timothy. This is the same guy's talking, same guy writing to the same guy, Timothy. And 1 Timothy 4:9, steadfast is the word and of all acceptation worthy, for this we both labor and are reproached, because we hope on the living God, who is Savior of all men, especially of those believing. So you got two things here that ought to make you pause. One is all men, which we talked about all what that might mean. It means not just Jews, but all Gentiles, all types of men, all chosen men, especially of those believing. Well, why do you put that in there?
Messes up.
I don't know. Find some hidden Greek word meaning in there. I don't know. But that's true, I guess. Is God in some way the Savior of all men, but is he commonly the Savior of all men, and especially the Savior of especially those believing? Yeah, you ever heard the word, sometimes from our pulpit, common grace, special grace? Heard that? This is a Reformation type of understanding. Common grace means everybody gets common grace, which means Does not God allow his sun to shine on the righteous and the wicked? And his rain to fall on the righteous and the wicked? What do we call that? Common grace. Do they get to breathe his air, walk on his ground, slap his face if they want to? Yeah. All the while, common grace. And what is special grace? It's when he gives you the faith of Christ and said, you're mine. You see that? That could be part of this.
For God so loved the world.
The world. And what's the definition of world?
Whoever it is that believes.
Whosoever believes. Is that not the same here?
But he loved the whole world.
God so loved. Which world is it? Now that word is cosmos, which means an orderly arrangement. We get the word cosmetics from that. Just remember, it's an orderly arrangement.
It's like a new world order.
It was a new world order. The ultimate new world order is a messianic one. It's Christianity. It's Christianity, yes. First Peter.
Maybe draw nearer to him. He might give. He can choose to give more favor to him. So especially maybe.
So let's look at this one. Why would you say that God could like give favor to some and not to others? Maybe you're reading. It doesn't seem fair. And Paul said that. In fact, we're going to read it right here. Romans 9. CF commented on this a few weeks ago, and he says, "How many preachers you ever hear to preach on Romans 9?" And he said, "Not many." They don't like it, because most of them are Arminian. Anyway, I'm going down that road. But here it is, let's just read it. So then, Paul says, so then, this is right after he said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, quoting Malachi. All right, so.
But Esau got blessings. But Esau still got blessings, though he wasn't the chosen one.
Yeah. He didn't get the blessing, did he?
Ishmael.
But, or you said Esau.
He got, well, I know, but I mean also Esau.
Okay, well, let me go ahead. Say what you're about.
Yeah, he still got the blessings of general humanity by being in God's image or whatever, but not the blessing of special.
Not the special, one and only blessing to the firstborn. Reuben should have got that. You hear this morning, but who got it? Judah. Judah. When you go to Rev 7, do you know who's first in that list of 12? Can you guess? Can you guess? Can you guess? Judah. Of that spiritually revived Israel. That's who it was.
That kind of applies to our nation. As a Christian nation, we would be the most blessed if we weren't corrupt. And we could bless the whole world as a Christian nation.
Sounds like Israel. Yeah. Deuteronomy 28, doesn't it? Does that rule still apply to nations today? I've proposed to you that I think that's kind of like God's natural law, which we quote in our founding documents. The creator and of creators God, that's natural law. Follow his stuff. You'll be the head, not the tail. You'll lend to many, borrow from none. Had a comment. In fact, there, Jeff.
I was just going to say, you would almost think that God is sovereign or something.
That's it. Well, look, since we're talking about election, okay, I thought we might, does anybody want to cut this short and talk about election?
Just keep it.